100 million? Who knows? Praise God. Praise God. We are in good company. Hallelujah. Well, if you're in the Lord's company, you're in good company. So let's get into our weekly. Here it is. Thank you, Jesus. Let's declare this together. This word is God speaking to me. This word is God's life being imparted to me. This word is God's incorruptible seed being planted in me. This word is God's authority being delegated to me. This word is God's blessing overtaking me. This word is God's ability empowering me. This word is God's counsel guiding me. This word is God's power of salvation to me. This word is God accomplishing in me that which pleases him. This word is God speaking to me. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 9. It's already been brought up earlier. And part of our offering, tithe and offering message. But Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. I like that. The is capitalized too. You know, they say the one and all, the Prince of Peace. Prince of Peace. Now, these words were spoken by God into Isaiah. Isaiah spoke these, 700 or 800 years before Jesus came to the earth. And these words about, you know, we're real big around here on Jesus. I mean, we are major big. There's a story in John chapter 7. Remember, the Sanhedrin sent out the temple guard. I mean, these guys, spears and whatever. They sent him into the temple where Jesus went to arrest him. And then it says they came back, and the Sanhedrin said, why didn't you bring him? You know what they said? No one ever spoke like this man. When Jesus speaks, it disarms armies. When Jesus speaks, no man can stop it. When Jesus speaks, there's a presence involved, and that presence is the fact that he is the Prince of Peace. Amen. Oh, yeah, you could say amen to that. I mean, it was obvious Jesus was not of this world. Amen? And I quoted this earlier when we first started the service, but in John chapter 17, verse 14, Jesus is praying in the garden, a high priestly prayer as he was entering, leaving one ministry and entering into his new ministry as our high priest, but he said, Father, they are not of the world, even as I am not of this world. That's pretty heavy. But if you let the truth of that sink in, you'll understand the oneness that God wants to have with you, the oneness that he has given you in Jesus with himself. There's a oneness. That's what peace means. It's a oneness with God. It's a completeness. It's a wholeness. It means a lot of things. Did you ever see that movie, The Martian? How many have seen that movie, The Martian? You need to see that movie. That is a great movie. This guy spent 4 years on Mars alone. He had a limited amount of supplies, and he took the seeds that he had out of plants that, or whatever he had, whatever the food was, and he started to plant them. For 4 years, he farmed and lived off of these things. And he was using his own human excrement for fertilizer. They got him back. They sent out a ship and they got him back. So if you haven't seen it, we know this. But they got him back and they brought him to Earth, and now he's in charge of orienting the new NASA candidates who are interested in coming. And he's given this speech at the end. And he said, the one question that I get more than any other question is, when you were stranded up there for all that time, alone on a deserted planet with nothing but wind blowing and storms blowing, did you ever think you were going to die? And he said, yes, absolutely. He said, you need to know that going in, because this is space. It is uncooperative. It does not cooperate. This is space. And you can, and if you're going into this, you got to know that someday everything is going to go south on you. And everything goes south on you, you can say, okay, this is the end. This is where I end. Or you can get to work and do what needs to be done. Why am I saying all this? Because even as he is not of this world, we are not of this world. We are in a hostile, non-cooperative world that's run by a renegade who is against everything that God is. He is against love. He's against righteousness. He's against Jesus. He's against redemption. He's against all of these things. And here we are. And someday, you need to know this going in. Someday things are going to fall apart. Sometimes things are going to go south. I mean, look, God will lead you into uncomfortable places. He led Jesus into the wilderness, not so that he could be defeated, but so he could overcome for you and for me, so that we could walk in his victory. He went to the cross. All we have to do is crucify our flesh. He was crucified. And he went to hell so that we don't have to. Big discussion about that a few years back. Did Jesus go to hell? Absolutely he did. Absolutely he did. But here's what we do have. Unto you a child is born. Unto you a son is given. Unto you. What a gift that God gave us. It's an amazing, enormous, stupendous, endless treasure trove that cannot be ever reached the end of. That's the gift that he gave us in the person of Jesus Christ. Amen. What a gift! I mean, look, if there's nothing under your tree, who cares? You got Jesus. Amen. You got all there is. Amen. Praise God. So we live in a hostile, foreign world. We are foreigners in this world. That's got to be your identity. Your identity has to be what God says about you. So know this going in. You're not of this world. You are of heaven. You are of the kingdom of heaven. You are an agent. You are an ambassador here with diplomatic immunity in this earth. Yay! Whew, that feels good just saying that. I have diplomatic immunity. The devil can't touch me. He has no right to touch me. And if he does, he better watch out, because I got these keys. And I'm going to unlock the power to kick in his gates forever. Let that just sit there. Now, things are going to fall apart for you sometimes. Sometimes they're not going to make sense. You cannot logically determine where you're at and where you're going. And you can either accept that and say, I'm defeated. This is it. I'm going to die. Or you can get busy. You can get to work and start working the Word. Do you know something? The Word has the power in itself to fulfill itself. And when you work the Word, if the Word abides in you, then the Word will fulfill itself in you. The Word, if the Word of God abides in you, then the Word of God will fulfill itself in you. It will fulfill its purpose. That's why abandon yourself from this world. Abandon yourself to the Word of God. Be a doer of the word. Somebody a few weeks back said, I need a strategic plan for my life. Well, here's a strategic plan. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything you need will be added to you. That's number one. Number two is be a doer of the word and not a hearer over. Let God be responsible for it because he loves you. He has the very best for you. Do the word. Don't, you know, people say, well, I need to help. I need to help the word. No, you don't. You need to cooperate with the word. Just do what it says. I mean, you know, let the Bible interpret itself and just do it. And number three is, here's the third part of that strategic plan, and it's the answer to 1,000 questions. Be led by the Spirit. Amen. If you do those three things, you cannot lose. The devil will not want to be in your presence because you are surrounded by a legion of angels. And the light that burns in you is going to be brighter than anything that this world can give. Any light that this world can give, any sense that this world can give, the light in you will be shining brighter. The devil is against everything. Listen to this. The gospel is the power of God unto everything that salvation is, everything that redemption is. It's one of those all-inclusive words in the Bible that it means health, healing, safety, soundness, preservation, deliverance, prosperity. It means everything. So the gospel is the power of God. And when you have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, you are, that oneness with God on the inside of you will begin to manifest. What was it that kept Jesus so focused, so centered in everything? Was it his faith? Was it his hope? What was it that kept him so right on when the Pharisees were picking up stones and rocks to throw at him and stone him, and he walked right through the midst of them? What was it that kept Jesus so whole and full of power and so complete when they were... when his hometown welcoming committee wanted to throw him off a cliff, and he's walking right through the seat. This world, we are foreigners in this world. We're going to meet opposition. The devil will make sure of that. And when everything starts to go south, what are you going to do? You can either accept that or you can get to work. You see, you solve, it's like doing the math. You solve one problem and then another problem. And then another problem, and then another problem, and after that, this overcoming becomes a way of life until you start to identify yourself as nothing but an overcomer. It's a process. It's a process. Say this: I am an overcomer. I am not going to accept defeat, failure, sickness, anything that's out of line with God. I'm not going to accept it. What I am going to do, I'm going to work the Word of God, and it will work in me. I'm lighting up with the creative power of God. Don't accept what the doctors tell you as the final authority. You know, Jesus said, and you know, we place a high amount of stock on what Jesus said. He said, with men it's impossible, but with God, all things are possible. You know, how many times do the doctors say there's nothing that can be done? You know, you're terminal. That's a lie. Because when they say nothing can be done, we should have known that in the first place, because Jesus said there's a whole lot of things that are impossible with men. But with God, all things are possible. All things are possible. We should have known that. So when they say that, that is a lie, because what they really should say is this: we don't know what to do, but with God, all things are possible. That would leave an open door. But you see, what the doctors are trained to do is to steal your hope. They don't want to give you any hope. Because if they did, they'd be liable for it. God is the God of hope. And if you want any liability, place it on him and he'll make it good. This, you know, if you think about it, what this is total peace. This is total peace. I want to get into some definitions here. But first, let's review where we've come in this series. In week number one, we talked about the wonderful name of Jesus, the fact that Jesus gave us his name. Acts chapter 3, verse 21 says this, that name is the name that heaven must receive. When we go to God in the name of Jesus, heaven's got to receive that name. It cannot not receive that name. And Jesus gave us his name, he said, in my name, just ask. Ask. Whatever you ask or call forth in my name, I will do it. Whatever you ask or call forth in my name, my Father will do it. You know, read John 16 sometime, John 14 and 16. And he says, all of these, and he's conferring his name. You know, E.W. Kenyon was preaching about the name of Jesus one day, and this lawyer was present, and he kind of blurted out. He said, does this mean that we have power of attorney with the name of Jesus? And E.W. Kenyon says, I don't know, brother. You're a lawyer. I'm a layman. You know, you tell me. He said, you know what? If words mean anything, Jesus has given us power of attorney with his name. That means what we say goes. With the name of Jesus. What we say goes. Put that in your heart and just let it grow. Let it grow. Farm it. Farm it. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, the government. That means dominion, power, legal. It's power and sovereignty by legal means. That's what it means, government. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God. So we talked about the wonderful name of Jesus. And that name, Wonderful, means miraculous. It means wonder, like beyond human ability. His name is Wonderful. So when he gave you his name, he's giving you something that is way beyond human ability to stop. Use his name. Use it. Just whisper his name. He said, I'll do it. And then we talked about, in week two, we talked about Counselor a little bit. We really pivoted and talked about the Magi. How many of you were here for that? We talked about who the Magi were, where they came from, how they formed, you know, the power and the wealth, the enormous wealth of the Magi, how they honored kings. They would travel and honor a king who was installed or a nobleman and so forth. And the gifts that they bestowed upon royalty was amazing. I mean, it was treasure troves. And this was the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. This was somebody who was prophesied. They saw his star. They knew it. Daniel prophesied it. These men from Babylon, the Magi. Daniel was made head of the Magi. And he taught them the word. He taught them the prophecies. In Numbers 24, 17, he told them that this star would appear and it would be a scepter out of Jacob. Ruling authority. And it would signify the greatest king who would ever live. That's who are they. So their treasure was really going to be greater, Jesus, than they did these other kings. And the catalog list of gifts that they gave to those other kings is enormous. Jesus was loaded. There was no want in him. Praise God. Then last week, we talked about the mighty God, the everlasting Father, manifest in the flesh. that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life that was manifested. That eternal life goes just as far back as it does forward. That eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. It says in 1 Timothy 3:16, God was manifest in the flesh. Praise God. I want to go into something. I have a somewhat limited knowledge of the Hebrew language. There's so much I don't know about it. But I do study those who have studied it, and I read their writings, guys like P.C. Nelson and so forth, who really understand the workings of the Hebrew language. The Hebrew language, let me get a little technical here for a minute, and then we'll get to where this is releasing the power of it. But Hebrew is a, unlike European languages like French and Spanish and so forth, that the spine of those languages are verbs. English is different than that. The spine of ours is like nouns. But the very basics of the Hebrew language is it is a root-based language, where every root word, there's like 240 of them, there are other words that come out of those root, and every one of those words that come out of that one root, they're all related. And the root of the word peace or shalom is pretty amazing. You know, if we had a good view of what peace really means in the Bible, and how it's used all through the Old Testament, we'd have a lot more respect for peace. We would value it more in our own life, and we would manage it better so that we wouldn't get taken away with all of these narratives and arguments that the world has. We wouldn't get so tangled up in the media arguments. We wouldn't get so tangled up in the internet arguments and whatever, the theories or whatever it is. Lord, no, we would manage it much better because it's what kept Jesus when he was under attack by a storm on the water with no defense. The boat was filled with water. They were going down. They were going to drown. But what did he do? Peace! He released what was inside of him. He didn't get managed by that storm. He managed it. Peace is a force. Peace is a weapon. Peace is a power on the inside of you. And when you build yourself up on scriptures of peace, 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 shalom, shalem, you'll see how it's so connected with the very heart of God and who God is and his presence of power and might. It's a weapon. It's a force. Did Jesus use peace as a force, as a weapon? When he spoke, those guys came to arrest him and they couldn't arrest him. Never man spake like this man. In other words, I never heard anything like this before in my life. You want me to arrest this guy? You got to be kidding me. But, you know, these temple guard, they were answerable to the Sanhedrin, and the Sanhedrin had a lot of pull, a lot of power to do something bad to them if they didn't obey him. And all, you know what their defense was? He said things we never heard before, and we couldn't do it. How would you like to just go into a room and start speaking and have everybody just stop their arguments and their strife and their chaos and all this, the everything that is not peace? How would you like to just say a sentence? Well, you can. If you build peace, the peace of God, into your heart. When David went and brought food to his brothers who were arrayed. They were ready to go into battle, and Goliath is 40 days and 40. He's going back and forth insulting the armies of God. And David comes along and says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he would defy the armies of the living God? That's peace talking. That's peace that's gonna settle this. See, peace doesn't come by avoiding the problem, avoiding the argument. Lori and I did a lot of counseling with couples and everything, and the problems that existed was that the man didn't want to make any waves. He didn't want to bring up, just keep peace, and he would avoid conflict, and therefore, no, that's not peace. That's just avoiding conflict. It's not settling anything, because what happens is when you do that and you back down, there's something on the inside of you that starts to grow. It's called resentment. I didn't get my say. I didn't do this right. Whatever, but it grows. And then another one comes, and you avoid that, and you avoid that, and it starts to grow up until it becomes like this riot going on the inside of you. No, peace comes from something that is whole, something that is complete, from something that confronts the problem lovingly and forcefully, really, because right is a force. Righteousness is a force. That's what brings peace. And it brings both people into agreement so that they drop their argument, you drop yours, and there's peace, because there's her story, there's his story, and then there's the truth. And God always brings the truth. And the truth is what settles and establishes peace. Can you say amen to that? Because you don't get peace by running away from something. Jesus never ran away from anything. So David is sitting there, and it says he saluted his brethren. You know the word salute? It's the word shalom. He greeted. There was a scripture in see if I got it. Yeah, Judges, chapter 18, verse 15. It says, they turned aside there and came to the house of the young Levite man, to the house of Micah, and greeted him. That word greeted is the word shalom. In the King James, it says saluted. In 2 Kings, chapter 4, we see the story of the woman, this Shunammite woman. She saw Elisha coming back and forth on a pretty regular basis. And she said to her husband, you know what? Let's make his life a little easier. Let's honor him, and let's prepare a room on the wall here of our property so that he can come in and rest, and he can have a place. And so he did. And he started staying there, and he came and went, came and went. And then he said to his servant, Elisha said to Gehazi, he said, find out what we can do for her. See, when you honor God's people, he honors you. When you honor God, the man of, he honors. So she honored that prophet. And he said, what can we do for her? And he found out that she had a son and her husband, she had no son and her husband was old. She needed a son to carry on after her husband left or died, which was the way of life back then. So he said this. He said, call her to me. In verse 15. Okay, good. Thank you. He said, call her. And when he had called her, she stood at the door. And she said, about this season, according to the time of life, you shall embrace a son. And she said, no, my Lord, thou man of God, do not lie to your handmaiden. And the woman conceived and bare a son. She was shocked at this. but he gave her what she needed. And then at the end of this, the son died. He was working out in the field. He had probably had a sunstroke or something. But he said, my head. And then he died in her lap. And she put him on the man of God's bed where he stayed. And she called and she ran to Elisha and grabbed his feet. And Gehazi was going to, you know, protect him. He said, no, her soul is vexed. And the Lord has hidden me what the problem is. And then she told him. But she said, first of all, he says, her son died. She goes to see the man. He said, how is it with you and your husband and your son? She said, shalom, all is well. Shalom, all is well. It was imperative in the Old Testament to maintain your peace. She spoke peace, but she was roaring with grief on the inside. Do you know that you can speak peace when you're roaring on the inside, when things aren't working out and things are, you know, coming against you in spades? I mean, this was it. You gave me this gift. Why would it be taken away? She couldn't understand. So he went in, stretched himself out over the son, brought him back to life. Nobody else ever did that in the Old Testament, did they? That you can think of? No, it's unprecedented. This man raised, I'd say that's probably a double portion, wouldn't you?
Yes.
Of what Elijah had. Careful now. Praise God. But here's what it is. I have on good authority here, jumping around my notes a little bit, so forgive me here, because sometimes I start off on these things and the Lord's going like this. Say this, the peace that God gives, that he imparted to me through the word of God and through the new birth, is something I possess. The peace of God is something the church possesses, but we have not used it effectively as it was designed to be used. We see it in Paul's life. We see it in Jesus' life. We see it. It's there. It's a real thing. How he spoke peace, how he brought peace to every situation. Remember, they were laughing him to scorn when he said, she's not dead, she's only sleeping? And stuff like that. He just brought peace to the situation. They laughed him to scorn. You see, when we speak words of peace, you're going to get two reactions, either compliance or a riot. Because not everybody is going to agree with peace, because it's not all men have faith. But we actually possess it, but we haven't used it effectually as a spiritual force. The peace inside us convicts the world of their perdition. It says that in Philippians chapter 1. It says, in nothing be terrified, which is an evident token of perdition to them, but of you salvation, and that of God. In other words, don't let anybody steal your peace. Use it as a weapon against an enemy. It's designed to be used as a weapon against the enemy. And all of this is the person of Jesus. This is the manifestation of Jesus in your life. In both cases, whether we're dealing with people or demonic forces, the peace of God cannot be overstated, for its broad and all-encompassing power. The peace of God exposes the enemy and his tactics. When you speak it, when your words are filled with peace, your words become a creative force for peace, to establish peace. This is a spiritual law. Everything was created by the word of God, correct? Therefore, everything is subject to the word of God. That includes your body. How do I know that? Well, your body was made from the soil of this earth. And the word of God is seed that goes into the soil. And that your soil has already been commanded by God to bring forth grass. And he didn't talk to the seeds. He talked to the earth and said, produce. In Genesis 1. He talked to the earth and said, bring forth grass, bring forth trees, bring forth. He already commanded, and that soil that you're made of is already commanded to produce whatever you say, the seed that's planted in it. So talk to your knee, talk to your back, talk to your digestive system, talk to whatever it is. If you get a bad with your kidney or whatever, say, no, peace, peace, mind, you're not going to be. You may think that this is the end. You may think that this is, you're defeated. And you can either accept that or you can get to work and let the peace of God start overcoming and driving that storm out of your life, driving that chaos out of your life, driving that strife out of your blood system, out of your cells. Let it start driving it out. Let it start answering to the word of God. Let the word of God start to corral this stuff and get it out of your body, out of your mind. The word of God is meant to dominate. Yes. So if everything is subject to the word of God, that includes your body, it also includes your mind. Amen. This is why we can take the word of God and renew our mind and get it thinking right. We can use the word of God to dominate our emotions so that we don't be led by our emotions and go this way and that way and this way and up and down. That's chaos. The devil leads through the emotions. The devil does. That doesn't mean that your emotions are demonic or anything else. It just, God gave you emotions. Why? So that you would have the capacity for mercy and compassion and love, but not to be led by that. No, you'd be led by, God leads by the Spirit. Not the emotions. So you have authority over your mind, over your emotions. You have authority over your body. Yes. Paul said, I can choose whether to stay here or leave. Over life and death. Here's a big one. Your future is subject to the word of God. Your future. Why do you think the devil tries to get your tongue and get your mouth working and start cursing your future? Say, well, I guess that's just me. It always happens that way, so it'll always be that way. You're cursing your future. You have authority over your future if you just speak the word of God into your future. That gives me a tremendous amount of peace. And when I speak, it's not the word. It's not me speaking. It's the greater one within me that's speaking. He will fulfill all of his word. Amen. That's his name, Prince of Peace. On what day did he change his name to Prince of Sickness, Prince of Confusion, Prince of Chaos, Prince of Strife, Prince of Anger? He's Prince of Peace. That's been given to you. God didn't give you a Prince of Fear, a Prince of Chaos, a Prince of Confusion. No, he's very clear. His will is very clear. And here's another one. You have dominion over your body, over your mind, over your emotions, over your future, and over your very now. If you don't like where you are now, Because you are the sum of your total talking yesterday. Your life is the exact sum of all your talking yesterday, all your words that have come to harvest. That may not sound like good news to you, but it really is. Because if you're the one responsible for getting you into that, then you're the one who can get you out. You can just take your words and turn them around and speak God's word and say, you know what? New day. New day for me. It's a new day. God gave me his son. He gave me the wonderful name of Jesus. He gave me his counsel. He gave me an everlasting eternal father and a mighty God who lives in me, the greater one. And he gave me the Prince of Peace. And when I speak, peace comes. And it drives the chaos out of my body, out of my mind, out of my emotions. It drives the chaos. And it all comes into perfect working order. And it works in the perfection that it was created to work in. That's what you identify with. What God says about you, about your situation, about your mind. That's your mind. That's not the devil's mind. Take it back. That's not his playground. He says, no trespassing. You gotta build a chain link fence around that thing and say, devil, keep out. And he'd be better to do that because he doesn't want to deal with a host of angels who have their swords drawn just ready. We see pictures of that in the Old Testament, don't we? Well, it's even better in the New Testament. Peace. Don't forfeit your peace by getting involved in entering into arguments, theories, all buying into what the media. You know who the father of propaganda is? The devil. He did it in the garden. He wanted Eve to see that thing like he wanted her to see it. He's a propagandist, and we're seeing all kinds of propaganda now against the Jews. Again, we're seeing, I mean, what's it been, 60, 80 years, 70 years? Since, really, 80 years. And here we are again. I'm going to say this, too. Taylor Swift, you are following demons. You are following demons. Mothers, fathers, do not let your kids go to a Taylor Swift. She's doing benefits to raise money for Hamas. She's operating by witchcraft. You see those circles that they do? No, it's all witchcraft. It's all Satan worship. Do not let your kids go there. Go ahead, kick me off, but I'm used to it. Remember, I'm a hostile agent in this world. And I've got an army you wouldn't believe. Praise God. And I've got peace about it. Unbelievable how people can be so deceived. And the devil knows just who to deceive. People who are filled with pride, arrogance, talent, and the ugly stuff. Ugly stuff. And you know, the people that we influence for evil, we'll be accountable for that. But the people that we influence for good and for God, the rewards are amazing. I love working for God. The pension plan is out of this world. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Thank you for worship today, guys. By the way, I said something about Silent Night last week, and Phil and I were meeting after that, and said, that's one of my favorite Christmas songs, and Phil said the same thing. It's one of his favorite, too. I just had to get going something going last week. God honors those songs. All is calm and all is bright. Sometimes it doesn't seem like it's all is calm and all is bright. But you know what? Who has the power to change that? You. That's right. We'll leave it right there. Next week, I want to get into some definitions of covenant and peace. and get this thing rolling in the right direction. I want to say Merry Christmas to you guys. Did you get anything out of that today? You know, there's going to come a time in your life where you're going to either believe that the Word of God is real, or you're going to fold. The more work that you do now in the field, the better the heart in the field of your heart, planting the Word of God in your heart, the more you're going to prosper and be in health in the future. I just opened up a door there. I better close it. You've been there long enough. When I see eyes glazing over, I get the hint. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, that it will not return void. It will accomplish in me that which you sent it to do. That your word is you speaking to me. It's your life being imparted to me. Your incorruptible seed being planted and flourishing in me. It's your blessing overtaking me. Your authority, your ability, your counsel, your power. It is the accomplisher. Thank you for your word. And Lord, we know that your word will be made flesh in our life as we simply walk in it, seek first your kingdom, and be led by the Spirit. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. If you need prayer for anything else, please come forward.